Do you want victory? You can have it in Christ Jesus.
Time once again for Abiding in Christ with Jim Wood.
You have to step back, evaluate the various positions in light of Scripture, and then re-engage with a godly perspective.
Pastor Wood is the founder and executive director of Ware's Valley Ranch, a Christian home and school for kids from crisis situations.
Jesus said, "As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love."
You can contact the program by calling 866-41-ABIDE or by visiting us on the web at pastorwood.org. And now, here's your host, Jim Wood.
Folks, I hope you're having a great day today. Today's best of message, I believe, will be an encouragement to you. We hope it will. It's one of the ones that folks especially registered this year that they enjoyed, and we would love for it to bless you on this day. If you want to be in contact with us, we would be so grateful to hear from you. You can visit our website, www.wvr.org. You can also call 866-41-ABIDE. We'd love to hear from you. Let us know that you're listening. If you're not in a position to give to the children's home right now, you can still call and let us know that you're praying for us and that you appreciate the broadcast. We'd be encouraged by your calls and by your prayers. God bless you. Folks, my guest today is Todd Nettleton. He is the media director for a fabulous organization called Voice of the Martyrs. And Voice of the Martyrs is actually celebrating their 50th anniversary this month. And it's amazing for me to think back. I feel like you guys were there even before you got started, because I'm 63. And pretty much my whole life, Voice of the Martyrs has been a respected and trusted ministry because of the legacy of your founder, Richard Wurmbrand. Tell us a little bit, if you would, about the founding of the ministry and what you all do, Todd.
Well, as you say, the legacy that the Wurmbrands left behind is a pretty amazing thing. The founder of the Voice of the Martyrs is a man named Pastor Richard Wurmbrand and his wife, Sabina. Pastor Wurmbrand was a Lutheran pastor in communist Romania. And before that, he was a Lutheran pastor in Romania when the Nazis were dominating Romania. Mm-hmm. In both situations, he just kept on right on ministering for Christ. He kept right on sharing the gospel. And the communists took power. Obviously, communism is opposed to religious freedom. They're mm-hmm. opposed to God. Mm-hmm. And so eventually, that Pastor Wurmbrand's work led him, I think, where he kind of thought it would, to jail. He spent a total of 14 years in prison. His wife spent 3 years in prison. Many months of that was in a labor camp helping to build the Danube Canal. They eventually were released from prison and ransomed out of Romania. Christians in the West paid $10,000 to the Romanian government to get the Wurmbrand family out. Before he left, the Secret Service took him aside and said, "Pastor Wurmbrand, you're going to the West. You can talk about God all you want. You can talk about the Bible all you want. You can preach all you want, but don't talk about what we did to you. Don't talk about the torture. Don't talk about the prisons. Don't talk about the lack of freedom here." Pastor Wurmbrand came to the West and did exactly what they told him not to do. He told his story, and more importantly, he said there are still pastors in those prisons. Mm-hmm. And Christians like you and I, we hear that and we say, okay, we want to help those pastors. We want to help those Christians. How do we do that? That's really how the Voice of the Martyrs was founded. It was founded to be the answer to that question, to be a bridge between the church in America and the church in hostile and restricted nations around the world.
Well, when we talk about what can we do, I know that one of the things you all emphasize very effectively is the power of prayer. A lot of people feel like, well, no. I mean, I really want to do something. That's like saying, I'd like to really impact this rock, and all you're offering me is a drill and some dynamite. Prayer is more powerful than any of the other stuff. So tell us a little bit about the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, which is coming up this Sunday.
Well, I think you point to our lack of confidence in prayer, the fact that we do kind of have that response. No, yeah, sure, I'm already prayed, but now I want to do something. No, prayer is doing something.
Amen.
And the important thing from our perspective is it's the first thing that persecuted Christians ask us to do. When I go and sit down with these Christians, I say, okay, you know, thanks for sharing your story. I'm going to go back and talk to American Christians. I'm going to do some radio interviews like this, and I want to tell Christians how they can help you. What can they do? The first thing they say every single time I've asked that question, mm-hmm. and I've been at VOM almost 20 years now, so every single time I've asked that question, the first thing they say is, well, ask them to pray for us. Mm-hmm. Please pray for us. And the challenging thing to me is it's not a prayer, you know, pray that we'll get out of jail or pray that our suffering will stop. Pray that the government will change. It is pray that we'll be faithful to Christ.
Amen.
In spite of the suffering, in spite of the hardship, pray that we'll be faithful. Pray that we'll stand strong.
Amen.
And so the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, which is happens every November on the first Sunday of November, it is coming up in just a couple of weeks, that's a direct answer to the request of our persecuted brothers and sisters. That's the first thing they want us to do is pray for them. That day, we invite every church in America and really every church around the world, spend some time specifically praying for persecuted Christians during your service on that Sunday. And, you know, some churches are going to give the whole service to it or the whole day. Some churches are just going to take some concentrated time during their normal prayer time that morning. We hope every church will do something to answer the requests of our persecuted family. Pray for us, pray for us, pray for us.
Amen. Amen. And you have a resource that churches can use also, which is a 5-minute film.
We have an outstanding resource. It is all at persecution.com on our website. As you mentioned, there's a 5-minute film. We have done this for a number of years. This year, with the 50th anniversary of the ministry and celebrating the legacy of the Wormbrands, the film this year tells a story from Pastor Wormbrand's imprisonment. And it is a true story. It is from his writings about that time. And the reminder of the film is always kind of to inspire you to pray. But the reminder this year in particular is, yes, pray for those who are in prison. Yes, pray for our persecuted family. But don't forget Christ's call to pray for the persecutors as well.
Amen.
To pray that they will be reached with the gospel. To pray that their hearts will be changed. That's really what is emphasized in the film. And like you say, it's about 5 minutes long. It's perfect to show in a church service right before your prayer time to kind of illustrate, hey, this is what we're praying for. This is why we're praying. And really lead people into that sense of really praying with a sense of urgency for our brothers and sisters. And like I say, for the persecutors as well.
Yes, amen. And again, now, folks, that's not something you have to write off for and they'll send you something in the mail. You can get that anytime. You can get it, you know, this weekend for the service on November 5th at persecution.com/IDOP. That's persecution.com/IDOP, International Day of Prayer. Todd, you have been doing this yourself for a long time, and you've been around the world and seen some amazing things. Where would you say is the greatest persecution going on right now? What countries are the worst persecutors currently of Christians?
You know, I think when we talk about the worst places to be a Christian, and I want to say as I answer this question that our brothers and sisters don't think of it this way. Mm-hmm. You know, if you ask them, they say, well, you know, yeah, there's some hardships here, but oh, those people over there, they have it much worse than we do. Mm. The countries you'd have to talk about North Korea. It's in the news right now a lot. People are talking about political things in North Korea. We also need to understand North Korea is probably the most hostile place to be a Christian. The North Korean government, and it's important for people to understand that the North Korean government is built on this idea that the Kim family are divine beings. Their children are taught when you sit down to a meal, you say, thank you, Father Kim Il-sung, for our food. So when you are a Christian, it's not just a matter of, hey, you know, that's a different religion, we don't really approve of that, or even, you know, that's a Western idea, you shouldn't have that Western idea in our country. If you're a Christian, if Jesus is Lord, then Kim Jong-un cannot be Lord. Those two are mutually exclusive. And
right.
So Christians literally undermine the veracity of the North Korean government. It's treason. It is undermining the government for you to believe in Jesus, and particularly for you to tell someone else about Jesus. So North Korea absolutely, I think, would be at the top of any list of persecutors. The others that you would definitely talk about, Saudi Arabia, a country where they don't even recognize the possibility that a Saudi could be anything other than a Sunni Muslim. So if you say, well, I'm Saudi and I'm a Christian, it's like, whoa, wait a minute, you can't be that. That's not allowed. They consider themselves the guardian of Islam's holy sites, and so they take very seriously that role as, hey, we're the birthplace of Islam. We're the protector of Islam. They do not want Christianity to grow on Saudi soil. Mm-hmm. The other two I would point to, and one from a intensity level and one from a number level, Iran, very intense persecution right now of Christians. They have closed all of the above-ground churches in Iran. It is now purely an underground system of churches and growth. The other is China, and China, simply from the number of Christians there, there are estimates over 100 million Christians. That is a lot of potential persecution targets. And we've seen in the last about 2 years a real crackdown against the church in China, as the government has really made some efforts to shut down the church and to stop the church from growing.
Mm-hmm. I saw a study that suggested in the last year or so that India might be listed as fifth place. What would you say?
I think India is rising persecution. We have seen the current Prime Minister there, Prime Minister Modi, comes from a radical Hindu nationalist background. Mm-hmm. Some of his government ministers have talked openly about, we want India to be 100% Hindu. And so we are seeing increased persecution. It seems like every single week we're getting a new story from India. They have kicked out some of the foreign Christians, or when their visa came up for renewal, they said, oh, sorry, we're not going to be able to renew your visa.
Yep.
And so that it is definitely on the increase, and it's definitely something we're watching, and I would encourage Christians to watch how India treats Christians. They are having state elections next year. They will have national elections again in 2019. It will be very interesting. If Prime Minister Modi's party continues to be in power, that will be a step backwards for religious freedom and a step against our Christian brothers and sisters there.
Absolutely. And in India, a huge part of their concern, as I understand it, is not only the Hindu nationalism and the pride of that, but the hostility toward the second largest religious group in India, which is Islam.
And yeah, exactly. And Christians are persecuted by both. Mm-hmm. Interestingly, Christians and Muslims in India can sometimes work together because they are both persecuted by the government. And so there are some instances where they're kind of helping each other out or helping each other to stand for more religious freedom. But absolutely, it's important for people to understand there are millions and millions of Muslims in India. Even though we consider it a Hindu country, there are tens of millions of Muslims there, and there's persecution there as well.
Yeah, and that's part of what feeds that determination on the part of the Hindu majority to try and suppress anything that's not Hindu, and Christians get caught in that vice.
Absolutely.
So, well, brothers and sisters, I just want to encourage you to do as we've said, and that is to pray, and also to become aware of some of the ways in which organizations like Voice of the Martyrs are working to make that personal contact with the folks in this country. They're not just looking at a map. They're going to these places, meeting with our brothers and sisters, and helping to strengthen them, hold up their arms in the midst of these difficult times. So North Korea, Saudi Arabia, Iran, and China were listed as the top four, and I'm suggesting we add India to that list of five. And again, folks, get on your knees and pray. We mentioned that this Sunday, November 5th, is the International Day of Prayer for the Persecuted Church, and you don't want to miss out on that. It is a wonderful thing when brothers and sisters stand together in prayer, or kneel together in prayer, as the case may be, and really call on the Lord to do something magnificent around the world. And there are some magnificent things happening. Hi, this is Jim Wood. I'm very grateful for the privilege of teaching God's Word now for over 40 years. I've seen firsthand the power of the gospel changing lives for eternity. My wife and I have been blessed with 7 children, 4 of them adopted. As parents, and in our travels to other countries, we've seen again and again that the human heart is the same everywhere. And everywhere we go, Jesus is the only one who can save. I hope that these broadcasts are an encouragement to you, and I want to ask you to take a moment to encourage us. First, please visit our website, pastorwood.org, to learn more about our work. Second, please pray for us that we'll remain faithful and that God will continue to use us to spread His Word around the world. And finally, if the Lord prompts you to do so, please support us financially. We're depending on our listeners to stand with us, and we're praying for God to bless you.
To step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown where Jesus is.
There have been some exciting stories out of some of these countries where persecution is intense. And Todd, if you would share with our listeners a testimony both from Iraq, and you've got a wonderful story out of Iran. Share those stories with us if you would.
Well, we heard from one of our contacts in Iraq about a man, we're calling him Mustafa. Obviously, we have to protect his identity, so we can't use his real name. But Mustafa was part of one of the Shiite militias that was fighting against ISIS in Mosul. And the leaders of his particular group, they brought in a mullah, an Islamic leader, to share with the men why it was okay to kill ISIS. Now, they were Shiites. ISIS is Sunni. But as Mustafa was listening to this, he's like, wait a minute, we're Muslims and they're Muslims, you know, they read the Quran, we read the Quran, why are we supposed to kill each other? That doesn't make any sense, that can't be right. And he started to ask questions about his faith, and, you know, started reading the Quran a little more seriously, like, wait, does it really say that? What's going on here? When he got back to Baghdad, after his deployment in Mosul was over, he went to a church, and he went to a very public, open church. Those churches can get in trouble if they're ministering to Muslims. And so when he went to the first church, they were like, oh, sorry, we can't help you. You're a Muslim. We're not supposed to talk to Muslims. You keep moving. Mm. He went to a second church, and they kind of turned him away too. But the security guard at the church, who was a Muslim, said, you know, there's an evangelical church down there. I think if you go talk to them, they'll be able to help you.
Praise
and
God.
So he went down the street to this evangelical church. The pastor there met with him, gave him a New Testament, and the pastor, you know, in a situation like that, pastors have to be kind of cautious in a Muslim country. He didn't want to, you know, get trapped into saying anything, so he said, hey, here's a New Testament. Why don't you go read this? Come back in a week, and we'll talk some more. And Mustafa came back a week later. He had read the entire New Testament. He was a firm believer that Jesus was the Son of God.
Praise God.
And he said, I want to be baptized.
Praise
and so just an amazing story of, and again, and we see this again and again when Muslims in the Middle East start really looking at Islam, they start really looking at what it teaches, mm-hmm. they have questions that there aren't any good answers to, mm-hmm. except Jesus is the answer.
Amen.
Jesus is the Son of God. And so we see stories like this all the time, just amazing, praise the Lord stories of Muslims coming to faith in Christ.
That's marvelous. Now, there's another very unusual evangelist leading people to Jesus inside Iran. Tell us about that.
This is a story that challenged me personally very, very deeply. There is an older lady in Iran. She actually, when she was a young girl, girls in Iran didn't go to school, so she never learned how to read. And her son came to faith in Christ. Now, he couldn't give his mom a Bible because she didn't know how to read, so he gave her some audio tapes and some DVDs of some sermons, and she became a believer as well.
Praise God.
And she began to pray, and she said, Lord, you know, I'm an old lady. I don't even know how to read, but if there's some way you could use me, I'd like to have a ministry. I'd like to serve you in some way. She got this divinely inspired idea. She got a hold of a New Testament. She had her son highlight some passages from the Sermon on the Mount, And what she does is she goes and gets on a bus and looks for a young person with an empty seat next to them. And she said in Iranian culture, the young respect the old. And so she will say, can I sit by you? Oh, yes, ma'am, I'd love to have you sit by me. And then she pulls out this New Testament and she says, you know, I don't know how to read, but someone has given me this book. And I wonder, would you mind just reading some of these passages to me? And she points to the highlighted passages and they begin to read the words of Christ and the Sermon on the Mount.
Praise God.
And she has led multiple people to Christ simply by having this New Testament and allowing them to read to her out of it. She said, people in the row behind and in front will sometimes turn around and say, wait, who said that? What book is that? How do I get a copy of that book?
Praise God.
So this old lady who doesn't even know how to read is leading people to Christ in Iran. And again, the thing I thought about when I heard this story was, what's my excuse? What am I doing for the kingdom? I do know how to read, and I live in a free country. What am I doing to be as passionate as she is about reaching the lost with the message of salvation?
Amen. Amen. Folks, that is a challenge indeed. The example of an older, illiterate woman in a country that is closed, supposedly, to the gospel. God has penetrated that door, penetrated that curtain, and he is spreading the light of Jesus Christ in that place. According to Operation World, Iran is the fastest growing church in the world at the present time. That is just amazing. Well, folks, that's all the time we've got, but I want to encourage you to visit the Voice of the Martyrs website. Todd, give us that address.
Persecution.com is the main website, persecution.com, and if you want those resources for the International Day of Prayer, it's persecution.com/IDOP for International Day of Prayer.
Thank you so much, Todd, for the great work you do. And brothers and sisters, God commands us to pray. God commands us to love one another and says that when one part of the body is hurting, the rest of the body hurts. So if you do not feel any sense of pain for your brothers and sisters who are being persecuted for their faith, it may be that you have lost your connection to the body. It may be that you never really got connected. And if you're listening today and you say, you know, I don't claim to be a Christian, but I'm curious as to why people would be willing to undergo persecution for their beliefs in someone who died a long time ago, it's because he's alive. Jesus is alive right now, and you can know him. And I would love to hear from you and share with you how you can have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that will absolutely transform your life. Jesus said he came that we might have life and that we might have it abundantly. So I want to encourage you. Feel free to contact us. You can go to our website at wvr.org. That's wvr.org. It stands for Ware's Valley Ranch. And God is doing wonderful things all around the world. You can be a part of it. Don't miss out. And don't miss out on eternity. Don't miss out on the things God has planned for those who love him. Todd, thank you so much for being on the broadcast with us today.
You are welcome. Thanks for having me.
You bet. And God bless you all there at Voice of the Martyrs as you celebrate 50 years since you were founded.
Thank you very much.
You've been listening to Abiding in Christ. If you have questions that you'd like for us to tackle on the program or comments you want to make, I want to invite all of you to contact us at 866-41-ABIDE. That's our toll-free number. 866-41-ABIDE, or contact us on the web at pastorwood.org. That's pastorwood.org.